The EP Podcast, heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.
And welcome into the EP Podcast. My name is Chris Linotti. Pull up a stool in my 9-foot homemade oak bar in my basement here in Evergreen Park. Pour yourself a cold one, whether that be a beer, a wine, an apple juice. Hannah Beth showing up at the last minute is getting herself set at the microphone. The guest beat you here, which I think is
so
absolutely
rude.
Amazing. We have a great guest. It has been a while since we have talked to him. Village trustee Mark Marzullo. Sitting down here at the bar with us. Mark, how are you?
Everything's wonderful. Glad to be with you guys.
I'm happy that you're here. I'm looking forward to sitting down and chatting with you. Whether you're saving for your first home, Mark, your child's education, or looking ahead to retirement, remember the proud sponsor of the EP Podcast, the First National Bank of Evergreen Park, over at 95th and Pulaski, giving away pumpkins. Bring the little ones over. They have the solutions and expertise to help you reach your savings goals. Expert team of bankers here to support you every step of the way with great savings accounts, certificates of deposit, and more. To find an account that's right for you, make an appointment to meet a banker at bankevergreenpark.com/EPPod, member FDIC. Hannah, we had a disaster here. Mark, you are welcome to sit here, but I got to start off the show with the disaster that happened overnight here in the Linotti household. So I got the three kids. Audrey is a freshman over at Mother Macaulay. Just got her first grades back for her first quarter over there. Doing well. Got a 3.9 GPA after this, so I'm happy
Very
with
nice.
Her. I'm proud of her.
Good.
Taking all honors classes. Doing well. Okay. And in the middle of a pandemic, adjusting to a new school. I mean, she was like, I'm sorry I didn't get a 4, and I just laughed at her. So I'm like, you're the least of my problems.
Yeah, right.
All right. And then my son Dominic is over at Redeemer. He's in the 7th grade. And then I have my youngest, who's 5 years old, going to Southwest, and Nicholas. Well, Nick and Dom live in the same room. And last night, at about 1:30 in the morning, Nicholas wants to climb into the bed. And the dog is also climbed into the bed because there's a rainstorm. It's just thunder and lightning outside. So I've got the two most immature beings in the house, the one-year-old puppy and the five-year-old child. They've run into my room. And my wife is like, there's no way we could put up with this. Get them out of here. And I kill two birds with one stone. I go, come on, buddy, I'll put the dog in the room with you. And he goes, okay. So I bring him into his room. He sleeps in the top bunk. Dog jumps into the bottom bunk with his older brother. And I leave. About 3 o'clock in the morning, and I vaguely remember this, Dominic comes into the room and tells his mother that he thinks that his brother pooped his pants.
He thinks.
And he's going to sleep on the couch. Erica just is like, yeah, whatever. And I remember fleetingly as I woke up and I was going back to bed thinking to myself, like, he's 5. There's no way he pooped his pants. Fast forward to this morning when my wife wakes me up out of a dead sleep because there is dog poop everywhere.
Oh, no. The dog
was afraid to go outside and obviously got a hold of something in the backyard that he probably shouldn't have. And he's got doggy diarrhea. We used to have a rug down here in the basement. That's gone.
Oh,
Erica
no.
was just like, just throw it out. We'll buy a new one. Like, it was everywhere. Like, luckily, most of the floors are hardwood, so we could clean them. But, I mean, the rug is gone. Like,
Poor
we
guy.
Just had to pick up the rug and throw it out. All right. And then the dog basically just sat in the backyard for most of the day today because I didn't want to look at him after having to climb. Like, just go live out there.
You didn't punish him, did you?
No, I just made him live outside. Okay. He's an animal. Right. He can live outside. It's fine.
So you didn't, like, right. rub his nose in it
but
like
I think
you did last time.
The best thing is, once again, this is like the second week in a row that we've talked about the obliviousness of my children.
Yeah, they almost drowned.
They got up this morning, went to school, and nobody noticed the poop. It was after they had gone to school, and my wife goes, wait a minute, why does it stink in here? My son got dressed in a room full of dog poop and left and said nothing. He said nothing. In the middle of the night, he was convinced that smell was his brother. You know that dog was scratching at the door before that happened. That dog didn't just do that. He's oblivious.
Well, the good thing is he did the brother thing and automatically blamed his brother.
Blamed his brother immediately.
Forget the dog.
That's exactly what he did. He blamed his brother. Much like something that I can't wait to talk to you. I want to talk about a lot of stuff with you today, if you don't mind. I want to talk about local businesses. I see construction projects. You always know what's going on. You got the village board meetings now. I think they're only once a month because of COVID. Yeah. But then you put the audio up on the website, which I think is cool. So people can listen in if they want to listen in to what's going on in the board meetings. And you're still doing business and you guys have done a great job. And I got to tell you something. I have business owners inside and outside of Evergreen Park that are constantly commenting on how business friendly Evergreen Park looks during this COVID thing. Like the fact that it looks like you're doing everything you possibly can to help out your small businesses. And to hear that must make you feel pretty good.
Well, yes. And, last time we were here, we discussed this. And probably one of the newer revelations that we just discussed at the village board meeting to help businesses out was the video gambling machines that will be coming to Evergreen Park soon. So
I'm sure you have some concern about it, though.
Well, what we've done is that we didn't take this lightly. We knew that a lot of the restaurants would need some help because people don't understand that they were doing okay, not okay. They're staying alive when they could just do carryouts only, and they're getting back a little bit of normalcy, but it's still way down. People are still afraid to go into restaurants. But what we wanted to do was create a situation where full-blown restaurants, bars could have video gaming. We don't want the Oaklawn Allsup model where there's a gaming machine every 4 inches. And if you get a wine license, you have video poker in there. We're going to have a very limited criteria on what we could do, what we will do and what we won't do. And probably there's going to be about 12 to 15 people will qualify under our rules. It all depends on your liquor license classification. And so we're looking at that, and it's going to be up for a vote on the next board meeting.
Do you get nervous? And I'm just going to play devil's advocate here because
absolutely.
I've been sitting here giving you like, hey, we got to do something to help businesses. And we've talked about this before. So
right?
You know that I'm not against your plan.
Right.
But now I got to flip it on the other side and
absolutely.
Ask you questions. Okay. Do you worry about what it does to a place like the American Legion, who was the only place that had this? Will it drain them because we take that away?
I hope not. There's still the Legion is more of a bar atmosphere. So you're going to, growing up in this town, which I have, you had Panis Lounge, you had Bleakers, which was just bars where just guys would hang out and have a couple of beers.
Oh yeah. I've been in both of them.
Now you really don't have a bar atmosphere. Only all the other places are restaurants and full blown. So they're still going to have a good loyal crowd. They did the Queen of Hearts things. I think that's still going out with them. They did well. It may drain a little bit, but there's some businesses that really are up against it, and they're in their final hour, a lot of these guys. And what's going on now again, we're looking at a shutdown again.
Right. We're going to talk about
and,
that
and
a
this
little bit
type here. Of, and this, the gaming equipment won't even be in for it. It's, you have to go through the state as the individuals. There's a lot of work.
So this wouldn't be a quick fix for anything. It
would
still take a while.
You won't have any gaming machines till next year or something.
Is this a thing that it will be for just existing businesses? Or are we giving out new licenses?
Existing businesses is only here to help who we have in town. We're not putting this
up. If in 5 years everything's back to normal and you're like, now we have a problem because we have too many of these, are these able to be rescinded once everybody's back on their feet?
Once a year we can look at it, and it's a licensing for a year.
Right.
For the restaurant bar owner, okay? Mm-hmm. And after a year, if we don't like it, if it doesn't work out, if crime becomes a problem, it
then
ends.
That's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just get rid of
okay.
it.
Because they really have no skin in the game other than they have to pay their fees. They don't own the machines.
Right. So they're basically, they don't even own the machines that are there. This is just another revenue thing that's there.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work out or something's wrong, it's something that's reversible.
Yes.
So that sounds a little bit safer for those, because I know there are people that are concerned about it. I know there are people that are concerned. People hear gambling and they get concerned right away. So that's an interesting thing I didn't know, is that it's a reversible process if down the line you're like, it's time to reverse this.
We never paint ourselves in a corner in this town. We don't want to say we're going to do this and that's that. What we'd like to do is we passed it. We're going to look at it. And in a year, we're going to revisit it and see what happens. And if it's something that's been working out, and we the people that are going to have these type of machines are going to be told, if it's got to be an A+, or it's all going to go away.
Right.
We're not selling for an A. We're A+. Because
you're looking
we don't
for,
want any trouble.
You're looking for perfection. On these. And you're
going
to hold
no
people
area.
To a high standard.
There's
on
no
these.
Gray area.
Hello?
Hi,
Hi, is that your car that's sitting out there by the curb?
Yes, that's me.
It's got the EP Podcast car magnet on it?
Yes.
You just won a free massage from Core Fitness and Physical Therapy.
Get out of here!
My name is Crystal Hernandez from the EP Podcast.
You're the podcast guy?
That's me. Oh my God. That's all. Yeah, so you're going to get a free 1 hour massage from Core Fitness and Physical Therapy.
Oh my God.
Just for having that magnet on the back of your car.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
Are you excited?
I am so excited. Hey, 1 hour massage? I can't wait. Oh my gosh. That's great.
And thank you for listening to EP Podcast.
Thank you guys.
It's now time for your EP Podcast Word on the Street, brought to you by Westgate Music School, 6527 West 127th Street, in person or online, safely at home. Visit them today, westgatemusicschool.com. Everybody wants to know what's happening on Halloween. Here's the deal. 3 to 6 p.m., trick-or-treating. Mayor Sexton was on this show. He talked all about it. That day, 56 degrees. So far, that's the forecast, with only a 10% chance of rain and sun during the day. You and I, we grew up here. The chances that we get that nice of a day on Halloween, slim to none. Likely snow, rain, a hurricane, maybe a couple of tornadoes. Who knows? But right now, 56 and sunny. It seems weird, but 2020 has been pretty weird. There is also an Evergreen Park Community High School trick-or-treating event where you drive through in your car. Get the kids dressed up, put on your own costume, who cares? It's going to be quite the event, super safe trick-or-treating, and lots of fun planned this Tuesday, October the 27th, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Enter through the main parking lot on Kedzie Avenue. More details, go back, check out one of our more recent shows. Amy Kazin stopped by, talked all about it. The EP Podcast rolls on, found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com. If you own a business, Evergreen Park's own Elite Benefits of America wants to remind you that health insurance open enrollments are either happening now or coming very quickly. And this is the time to review and implement a healthcare plan to make or keep you as the employer of choice. Deadlines for open enrollment range between November 1st and January 1st. Get ahead of the curve. The Small Business Special Enrollment Period, part of the Affordable Care Act, now allows employers with 49 employees and under to offer health benefits without contributing a dime to the employee plan. Help your employees save money on taxes with health insurance they're already paying for with their hard-earned dollars. Butch Zimar from Elite Benefits of America wants you to reach out to him today. Visit elitebenefits.net or call 708-535-3006. To Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of the biggest suburb that runs up against Evergreen Park, Chicago, decided that she was going to start putting restrictions. And I always find it's like the movie Gremlins, Hannah.
I know.
The weird rules in the movie Gremlins. Like, you don't feed them after midnight. So you can catch COVID, supposedly, if you are a bar that doesn't have a food license.
Makes no sense.
But you can't catch COVID if you have a food license. And COVID is more deadly after 10 p.m. So I don't understand it very much, especially because, you know, look, I've been around to a bunch of businesses today, and I went out and did some shopping this week. I talked to a couple of business owners in Chicago and outside of Chicago in the suburbs, some in Evergreen Park, some in other suburbs today. You know, I've got a couple of different podcasts. One of them, Socks in the Basement, has a much bigger reach than Evergreen Park, so I deal with different businesses. Those that are outside of Chicago are nervous because they're like, well, the next shoe that drops is us. Like, we'll be next. Politicians will panic, and then the next thing is that they'll start putting restrictions on me. Those that are in Chicago are frustrated and angry. But it seems to me like it's the mom and pop stores that are getting hurt the worst. I know of several businesses that I've walked into. I'm just going to take bars and breweries. I've walked into several bar restaurants. I have seen some of them taken care of perfectly, meticulously. They're wearing their mask. Their servers are wearing their mask. They're cleaning everything down. I went to go get a sandwich today at a place. Everything was wiped down before I sat down. there were sanitizer bottles sitting there on the table. They're doing everything they can because that's their livelihood and it means so much to them. I walk into the Target on 95th Street in Oak Lawn 2 days ago to go do some Halloween shopping. The guy who's ringing me up didn't put his mask on his face. He's an employee and he's ringing me up. There's two people walking around stocking shelves with their masks down below their chins, with their faces completely exposed. And I have a far greater chance of catching it in that big box store, but nobody's worried about them being open as late as they're open and having as many people as they want inside the store.
Because they're essential.
That's just got to be the most frustrating thing for a small business. And you guys might be up against, again, having an answer to the businesses in Evergreen Park. Like when they go, what are we supposed to do? You know, because I'm sure you're going to hear it if somehow the state decides this zone is going to fall under some kind of restrictions all of a sudden.
Well, we're afraid of that again. And again, we're not the police force for the state. The state makes a mandate. They come in and they can enforce it. When the mandates were handed out from the state of closing bars, we of course, you know, policed it a little bit, but we don't think that's our job to tell the restaurant owners, you know, that's the state of Illinois. If the state makes the rules, maybe they should enforce the rules instead of putting the rules on us. Another, I call them wonderful unfunded mandates by the state of Illinois, where the state will say, you guys got to do A, B, C, D. And we say, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. Who's going to pay it? We're not going to pay it. We're just telling you what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, then we're not going to do nothing.
That's a problem.
Well, that's how the state likes to work.
Right.
That's why the state is in the state they're in.
Exactly. You know, here's the thing. And I've talked to the mayor about this before. I'm aware, and I think anybody that's listening to the podcast, that one of the biggest problems Evergreen runs into is that the village has to be insured. You have to carry insurance. And insurance carriers are like, well, if you start not listening to these rules, you might lose your insurance as a village. And it kind of gets you guys into a tough bind. That's the way he explained it on the show to me. And I don't know if that's changed or anything like that, but that's kind of the way that he explained it to me. And it kind of puts, even if those in charge of Evergreen Park think it should be done a different way, there's only so much you guys can basically do. So it's almost like you have to say, look, if you're going to come up with a rule, then you enforce it. Because we don't want, because you might not even agree with the rule.
You know, and some of us will agree with some of the rules, some of us won't agree. But again, our job is not to force bar owners and restaurants and tell them how they should run their businesses. It's not our job. We're a municipality. The state of Illinois and the county want to do it, that's on them, not on the village of Evergreen Park, on how do people should close or when they should open and do this. Of course, like I said earlier, the restaurant owners have to go by the state mandate,
right?
Because the state threatens their liquor license,
right?
That they'll come in there, but that's not, you know, that's not really, we don't try to run around and enforce all the state mandates.
An Irish pub created by two neighborhood families right here in Evergreen Park, nestled on the quiet little street called 99th. And it has quickly become a Southside tradition. I'm talking about Porter Cullen's, voted the best Irish pub the last 4 years by the Chicago Tribune. Their menu is filled with unique and inspired takes on traditional Irish and American classics that are sure to satisfy all your taste and cravings. This includes their incredible Guinness battered fish and chips and the best homemade corned beef you can find. With a family-friendly atmosphere, Porter Cullen's is certified by Guinness to give you the perfect pour. A hidden gem on the south side with a downtown feel located right here in Evergreen Park, Porter Cullen's has comfortable seating, indoors and outdoors. Located at 3541 West 99th Street in Evergreen Park. Learn more at portercullens.com. And sitting down here at my 9-foot homemade oak bar for the EP podcast right now is Larry Liebforth. And I've known Larry for a while in a lot of different ways. First, he lives here in Evergreen Park. I also know him because he was doing the umpires. He was basically running the umpires over at the girls softball league at one point. I was coaching. I would go to him and I'd be like, what the heck was that called? No, I didn't do that kind of stuff. And then also, Larry is in the MHR men's club. I've played softball against him. I've known hoops. He's over there right now. He's signaling to me what to say. It's great. You can talk, Larry. That's why I have a microphone there. Larry Liebforth. How are you, Larry?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. So yeah, hoops. I don't even want to talk about that. Like I remember.
Chris, you were a natural.
I'm a terrible basketball player. Like I am the worst. I only joined the basketball. I'm going to tell you how I got sucked into the basketball league, this men's basketball league, with all these guys that clearly played basketball when they were in high school. Like, did you play basketball in high school?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All of you did. I was terrible. Okay? I was on the bench in the sixth grade. Didn't even play in the seventh. Like, I was horrible at it. So I'm at a softball game, and somebody comes up to me and goes, you're playing basketball this year. And I go, no, no, that's okay. And he goes, no, we already drafted you. That's how I ended up in this league. And then I was like, it's a good time. They hang out afterwards. I only have to run around for a little bit. I just try not to look too stupid. When I score, both benches cheer because it's such a rarity. And then Larry tells me a story. He's just sitting in Porter Cullins doing the draft one year. And it was like, who's going to have to take Chris at the end of it, right? Go ahead, admit it, Larry.
It did come up. But we all wanted you, Chris. We all did, you know? It was exciting.
I throw my 20 on the bar at the end. That's why I'm a good teammate.
You play hard. I give you that much. You make up for any loss of skill and effort, and that's what it takes, really. I mean, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about what Larry does. Larry is an attorney here locally in Evergreen Park. How weird is that, first of all? Because I know when I was a 911 dispatcher, every once in a while, I'd pick up a call and it'd be somebody that like I knew. Like you're dealing with all these things that you must get people that come to you all the time and ask for advice. Like you're just trying to have a nice evening out and somebody comes up and they're like, hey, you're a lawyer. Tell me what to do. Like, does that happen a lot?
It happens a lot, yes. And it's inevitable. You know, I mean, people see you as a source of information and they want your opinion on something, and it's good. You get used to it and you enjoy helping people. Or else you shouldn't be a lawyer, actually.
Are you like one of those TV lawyers? Like you're dealing with like crimes, or what do you do like exactly?
Well, I do some criminal work. You know, I do a lot of personal injury, both plaintiff and defense, commercial litigation, and I do some estate planning and some real estate. So I kind of keep it interesting.
COVID-19 hits, so I'm curious, since you deal with all these different aspects of the law. Like, what was the big thing? Like, when COVID hits, was there an increase in a certain type of client or a certain thing that you were seeing?
Pretty fascinating, because when that quarantine initially hit, there was an initial panic almost. The anxiety level rose pretty high, and we saw a huge increase in clients seeking estate planning. I mean, they would come through the parking lot. We had quite a few nurses come to drive through the parking lot and have their wills done and or have their trust done. We would execute them in the parking lot. They would be fully head to toe dressed in their PPE. That initial panic, everybody was trying to get their affairs in order, you know, especially if they had a frontline worker or if they were had some pre-existing conditions or they were elderly. It was like, you know, everybody. It brought their estate planning to like a focus, right? I mean, brought it to the attention of anybody that had been thinking about it, all of a sudden wanted to get it done.
You're lucky now, because I would imagine most of your law is going on virtually, like over Zoom and stuff like that. You were kind of telling me before you sat down, like going to court now is not something you normally do. Instead, it's like the judge, the court reporter, like everybody, you're all on Zoom doing everything. That's got to be weird.
That's changed. That's a big change. The court system has discouraged in-person visits to court, court appearances. So now we do far more Zoom appearances. And initially that was an adjustment. But I think we're all getting more used to it.
You could just do the case with like a shirt on, but you don't even need to wear pants.
Well, I do wear pants, but no, you can wear a shirt and a tie, and then that's it. And you know, you can have shorts on or whatever underneath.
I want to ask you this question because we have Mark Marzullo on this week, Village Trustee. You know Mark?
Very well, yes.
Yeah, Mark's a good dude.
He's a great guy, yeah.
So Mark was kind of talking about, we were talking about all this stuff with businesses and whether or not there'll be some restrictions coming back here as we're starting to see a surge here in COVID cases, and we're seeing it in counties around us, but the suburban Cook hasn't been hit yet, at least at the time we're sitting here talking right now. God knows what will happen by the time the show comes out in a couple of days. But what if you had you probably don't even specialize in this, but you have all these people that walk up and probably chat you up all the time for legal advice. So let's say I'm a bar restaurant owner. I'm a bar owner, and I get told now I got to take away my indoor seating all of a sudden again. And I'm like, I'm not surviving. There's no way I'm making it through the winter if I can't bring people inside. And I know I'm doing all the right things. And I'm thinking about just ignoring it. Like, It looks like liquor licenses is the one thing they would probably get hit with. So have you ever dealt with liquor licenses getting pulled, and how does that normally work? And what would you tell a guy if he walked up to you and said that to you?
Well, I mean,
because I feel like you're going to get that conversation.
Yes,
at some point.
At some point. Like the businesses did the same thing. I mean, they were, you know, they were inquiring, you know, as to what would happen if they continue to operate, even if they had COVID on their, you know, on their premises, you know, what if they didn't abide by all the CDC regulations and whatnot. And so that's, it's always, there's always a learning curve here. And with the, if they don't abide by the state requirements, then I would assume they're going to suspend the liquor license. I mean, that's the leverage they have. And the liquor license suspension, you know, it's not indefinite, but they, you have to have a hearing, right? And then you have to decide, the liquor commission decides what they want to do. You know, if they want to suspend you, they want to shut you down or whatever, but depending how many violations you've had.
But it's a commission. Essentially. Right. Oh, you're not going commission. In front of Governor Pritzker.
No. You go in front of the liquor commission. Correct.
You go in front of a commission.
Correct.
I understand that now. You see, that those are the things I don't think a lot of people kind of get.
Right.
Like, they don't understand the process because they don't deal with the process.
Right.
That's one of the things. So if anybody wanted to go through any kind of process with you, they from making a will or asking you stupid questions like I've asked you today, how would they get a hold of you? Because you're an Evergreen Park guy. And you deal with a lot of clients here in Evergreen Park. And by the way, have you ever had two neighbors come in? They both want you to represent them against the other one?
Many times.
That's awesome.
Yes, I have. Phone number's been the same since 1992 or 3, whatever it's been. 708-499-6300. That's my office. You can talk to my assistant, Ellen. She will be glad to talk to you. You know, so anything you want to talk about, just from a legal perspective, you want some help, let us know.
Larry Leaveforth is a good dude. I mentioned it early on. He puts me on his basketball team, even though I average less than 2 points a season. And that's not a joke. Okay.
He's a lot of fun. His attendance at the bar after the games are, I think he's about 100%.
Yeah. I make sure I get to the bar and I put my $20 in the basket, and that's why I think they keep drafting me. So, but Larry, I appreciate you coming down here and sitting down and letting us meet the neighbors.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you for putting me on.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things that Country Financial stands for. They're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through Evergreen Park. They're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of your community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. And since Country is already your neighbor, they want to get together and chat. Call your local Country Financial representative, Mike Thauer, today at 708-425-1559 to talk about the things that are important to you and how he can help you protect them. Kids will be trick-or-treating this year. What are you doing? Are you handing out candy at the house? Are you skipping it this year? What are you doing? Because I know a lot of people right now are figuring out what they're going to do. I mean, we're giving out candy because I'm going to be giving out candy.
I probably might do that since I sell some 2-inch PVC. I might do that tube thing you've seen when you slide it down.
Oh, I need to get some from you. Yeah, I need some PVC pipes.
I was looking at that. I said, maybe I'll do something to slide it down the tube and let the guys go. and this is what I believe. People have come up to me both sides of the coin. You can't have Halloween.
Are there people upset about the Halloween?
Absolutely. You can't have Halloween.
See, I'm surprised by that because, like, if you have Halloween and people are inside the house and
they're just
are
people that believe that. And there's people say, you got to have Halloween.
Right.
I think our village position, this is my personal position, that's the parents' choice.
Right.
If you want to take your child out and if you feel safe, this is, again, government interfering with your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you feel it's safe, you as a parent should make that decision, not government.
Well, we've talked about it here on the show. We've had doctors on the show, and Dr. David Beckman, who's here in Evergreen Park, and we've gone over the data and the CDC stuff. I mean, I think the last time that we had him on, the current death rate for a child under the age of 18, I think it was 20 and under, was 0.0003%.
There was like three
and
zeros.
It was, yeah, there were three zeros in there, and if you were under the age of 50, it was 0.02. So it became 0.5% if you were under the age from 50 to 70, and it became then like 6% if you were 70 or older. So I understand the fear of the older population, but on the other hand, if people are wearing masks, like they can say, I don't want anybody coming up to my house. They
right, we don't
want anybody around.
We have signs.
So it's not bothering you if a kid's walking up and down the street because I don't, you know, it's the same thing of when I drive down the street and I see people with their windows rolled up and they're wearing a mask and they're sitting in the car by themselves.
I
don't
wonder about that.
I don't understand it. You know,
maybe the guy didn't take a shower in the morning. He doesn't want to smell himself. I get
that this is scary and I get that people have died from it, but I think if you use your brain about things, you can, and you know what your health situation is, and you understand your risk. Like, look, I can't guarantee that my kids won't catch COVID. And even with that very low percentage, I can't guarantee they'll live. But I'll look at it and I'll try to weigh the pros and the cons and what the actual odds are, and then I make a decision. Because, you know, that's what God put me on earth to do,
and
is to figure out what
right
to do with my children.
Parent to do.
Right. That's kind of how I see it.
That's the way I see it.
But it's strange that some people don't see it that way, and it's weird to me, but I guess nothing should surprise me anymore in this world. Because I'm one of the first people who'll sit there and say, put a mask on. One of the first people will sit there and say, make sure you're social distance. One of the first people will sit there and say, you got to do the things right. I understood the flattening of the curve. I got all of it. But on the other hand, now I sit there and I go, okay, well, we know a lot more about this than we knew about it in March, where the death rate is different. The contagion is different. The way the virus works is different. What we thought about this virus in March and April is very different than what it actually is now. That doesn't mean it's something you take lightly. But I'm shocked that somebody's like, yeah, we don't want kids walking around outdoors in fresh air. That's shocking.
With their faces covered.
Yeah!
Especially last year when it snowed and they couldn't have Halloween.
Some
made it, but it was that snowstorm.
It's funny. Yeah. It's probably the same people who are complaining that the kids are trick-or-treating are the same ones that are like, how could you stop trick-or-treating in the snow?
No matter what happens, someone's always going to complain.
That is true. That's going to happen.
And,
yes.
I always say, you know, government get involved in this type of stuff. And one of my favorite lines is, the scariest sentence when Ronald Reagan said, what's the scariest thing I've ever heard? He said, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. They should be scared when they say that.
Another show is wrapped up. Another show's in the books. Another show is wrapped up. And then by the looks, it's going to be a good one. And we'll see you next week. And the nude is basement. And the nude is basement. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. Another show is wrapped up. And it's in the books. Another show is wrapped up, another show is wrapped up, and by the looks, it's gonna be a good one. Nudie's Basement, broadcast basement, the Nudie's Basement, the broad basement, Slauncha.
The EP Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at theeppodcast.com.